So as the season of Advent prepares us for Christmas, and the season of Lent prepares us for Easter, so the entire church calendar prepares us for today, Christ the King Sunday. Now the problem with Christmas, the temptation is that it's an event from the past that's void of meaning for today. The problem of Easter is the temptation is to see it as an event from the past that's void of meaning for today. What about Christ the King Sunday? Is it a Sunday so buried in the future that it's void of meaning for today? Listen to the call from Scripture. Maybe this kingdom doesn't have to be so far off.
Inside this box. As we have peered into the lives and stories of scribes, poor widows, disciples, blind beggars, and large institutions, the haunting question still remains: what is inside the box? What is inside your box? What's inside your well-formed box of rules and regulations that you use so desperately to prop up the facade and exterior of yourself? What is blinding and hindering us from throwing aside our mantle and running headlong into the healing of transformation? Which one of these symbols on the outside of this box resonates with you? And it resonates deeply enough for you to invite Jesus to probe and live deep within you so that you can be transforming from the inside out.
The call was, and the call is, to live deeper than the letter of the law, and to acknowledge that living rightly alone does not provide us the freedom of living in love. So the path and the call of the upside-down kingdom invites all on this journey. The rich, the poor, the blind, the haughty, the charlatan, the disciple. This call challenges us to learn to love what we hate, to embrace what we fear, to turn towards the kingdom and away from our one thing, the one thing that we want to hold on to so badly, our riches or our ego or our mask or our grasping for power. I think you can fill in your own blank. Can we learn to love poverty, humility, vulnerability, if that is what we are asked to do? Can we choose to step away from our mantle, our comforts, our security, our safety, if that is what we are asked to do? This journey is not an easy one, yet it is essential. This is the path and the call of the upside-down kingdom.
And this path is not one that we travel alone. Can we believe that God wants to make us the best version of us? God is going to use the kingdom to shape us. God is going to use the king followers to shape us. It's not just about us and the King. God is going to use the community of faith to shape us into the best version of ourselves. Now, unfortunately, the kingdom has often lived as the worst possible version of kingdom. Since the first disciples, they've been having to face their first things of power and wealth and religious facades. And the kingdom that we've often seen in church history has become just like another kingdom of this world, a new system of power that controls and manipulates. But the kingdom that Jesus initiates is not one that fights for power and is not one of this world. What we see in the Gospels today, what we've seen as we follow Jesus these past few weeks in the book of Mark, is that Jesus is not just advocating a religious or political or social reform, but that Jesus is modeling from his birth to his death to his resurrection something totally different. Not a reform, but a revolution of love.
Jesus begins the Gospel of Mark, the resurrection of God, by saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." And since the dawn of creation, God's heart and intention has been to be in loving, whole relationship with all of creation. As we have followed Jesus through the interactions in these last 6 weeks, we have seen his loving, unwavering mission to call everyone who is willing to see the world in a new way, all things in a new way, and calling them to trust him, to be in loving, whole relationship with God, to partner with him to birth the kingdom of God. It is now the birthing of the kingdom, but it is yet to be seen in its fullness. Jesus continues to call us to this active waiting. Our role is to be in a trustful relationship, meaning to trust and believe that God is at work deep within us and in the world, and then to hear from the Spirit of God, God leading us, the King followers, to be present and active to the birth of the kingdom here in Winnipeg, in Manitoba, in Canada, and the world.
Now imagine the whole of creation leaning into the birth of Jesus. Finally, those birth pangs, again the now, but the not yet. The sense that an entirely new kingdom was coming, one that could not be seen or imagined on that side of the birth pangs. Advent. Advent is a time of waiting, of watching. It is not necessarily a comfortable time, not even an easy time. Like birthing, perhaps in Advent, there is work to be done, a focus to be maintained. What if this Advent we are led to a place we have never been before? What if this familiar story births to us a baby who we have never met before? What if we let go of settling in to the familiar story of Advent we know, and let this story unfold and be told and touch our hearts and minds in a whole new way?
Friends, there you have it. This is good news. Sometimes that word good news is translated to a word gospel. And I know that at that word, maybe some of us cringe. And the word gospel has an interesting history. It's actually quite a common word in the first century context that we read it in the scriptures. Sometimes when a new Caesar was born, or when a new land was conquered for the empire, the heralds would go out and they'd force the peasants to their knees to listen to the proclamation. And they'd say, listen to the gospel. Here's my sword. A new Caesar has been born. Caesar, Nero, or Augustus, or insert your favorite emperor. Listen to this gospel. This new land has been conquered. Your land has been conquered. You're now a part of Rome. It's a word that oozes with power. Listen to me. It's a word that oozes with control. You're now under our reign. It's a real king's word. But the amazing thing, when Jesus starts to teach, he starts using this word gospel. But he's using it, and he's living in a way that's totally different than the way that the people had experienced this word before. He borrows the word and takes the word of power and domination, takes that good news of control, and turns it into a good news of grace. It's no surprise in Mark chapter 1, the very first line of that book is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ. It's truly good news, and it's gospel like you've never heard gospel before. This is the gospel that you want to hear. It's also surmised that that opening fragment of the book of Mark, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, might have served as a title. Might have served as a title to the entire book. So what we call the Gospel of Mark, or Mark's Gospel, or the Gospel according to St. Mark, might actually be better known as the beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ. Why Mark? But the story that Mark tells in those 16 chapters that we capture in our Bible are just the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ. Even as we close the book, that's just the beginning. The inside out, upside down kingdom made possible by Jesus intersects with you and you and me today. This inside-out, upside-down kingdom made possible by Jesus interacts with king followers yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Intersects with king followers here, upstairs, down the street, and around the world. So, as our calendar, as our church year comes to a close today, let's remember that the gospel, the story that we read about Jesus, is just the beginning. And the gospel that Jesus is the king, not us, not Caesar, is truly what the good news is. When all is made right, and all comes to its right end. To this we say, Amen.